Today on the Dominic and Yurt Show, it has now been over a year since we have lost the late, great Pastor Bob and Yurt. Today, we're going to take a look at how Bob influenced the world and then listen in on Zachary and Yurt as he explains the trick Bob used to do so and how we can wield our influence for Christ. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country and welcome to the Dominic and Yurt Show. Yesterday was the 1 year mark since the passing of the late great Bob and Yurt. A full year has gone by since his passing, and yet the world goes on. If you've been a longtime listener of the show, no doubt you were devastated to hear of his passing. Or even if you've become a listener during this last year and listened to our broadcast classics on Mondays, you no doubt understand the significance of the loss. I was in the middle of it as it was happening, and it almost seems that the intensity of it is so severe that life itself would just stop, right? It seems the severity of it would stop the sun itself from rising and setting. And yet the world goes on. Sunday at Agape Kingdom Fellowship, which is a church plant off of Bob's former Denver Bible Church, the service was on influence. How do we, as Christians, how do we influence the world? How do we influence those around us? And how have Christians historically influenced those around them? And then, of course, with it being the anniversary of Pastor Bob's death, how did he influence the church around him, and how did he influence the world around him, and how can we use that as an example? I'd like to take a moment today to go over some of Bob's accomplishments in no particular order, and how he's influenced the world, and then I'd like to echo Sunday's sermon message. On our ministry's website, we have some of our greatest, most significant accomplishments they're listed there. And by our ministry and our greatest accomplishments, that really means Bob's accomplishments. And there were so many that were with him along for the ride. And so he never took personal credit, but everyone, they all really knew who was the mastermind, so to speak, behind these. So our website, kgov.com, kgov.com, kgov.com/accomplishments, kgov.com/accomplishments, if you want to see that list. And if you are a longtime listener, you'd like checking this out. It's a little bit of a walk down memory lane. And so the top accomplishments by our estimation in no particular order are, well, starting off with number one, the Clinton-raped Juanita protests in just over 195 cities. And Bob and Yurt Live mobilized a mass continuous protest against Bill Clinton in just over 145 cities, following the Clintons around city by city to each of Bill Clinton's events, reminding everyone there, everyone attending, all of his supporters, that Bill Clinton is, in fact, a rapist. Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick, and that is a fact that cannot be forgotten. And it's a tragedy that Bill Clinton was an example to the entire world that you can be as evil as you want. You can be as evil as you can be a rapist and still become the president of the United States. And that shows a sad state of how depraved our country has become, right? A rape scandal doesn't destroy your chances of becoming president. But at the very least, at the very minimum, BEL helped the world to not forget the fact that Bill Clinton is a rapist. All right, number two, exposing James Dobson's admittedly broken pledge to God, which Focus on the Family still used as a fundraiser. Now, if you are not familiar, Focus on the Family, they were using a video of James Dobson, and he was at a rally. He was speaking at a rally, and he made a pledge. He said, "I pledge to God I will never cast my vote for any politician who is willing to kill a single innocent child." And he's talking about abortion there. And then after that, he endorsed John McCain for president, who was a Republican who voted to authorize funding to kill children by surgical abortion. That's right. John McCain fought to pay to have the government pay to fund abortions. He voted for taxpayer-funded abortions, and James Dobson endorsed McCain. And thankfully, Bob was there to expose the wrongdoing of Dobson and the sin of Dobson. Now, this is listed on kigov.com/accomplishments, but I think even this is an understatement of the actual reach he had in this area, not through this event solely, but Bob was instrumental in teaching the entire pro-life community that we cannot trust these so-called pro-life politicians. And Bob, he was a spokesman for Colorado Right to Life. And Colorado Right to Life, we kind of did a hostile takeover of Colorado Right to Life. There's a fun story behind that. But Colorado Right to Life is the oldest pro-life group in the country. And Bob was instrumental in teaching the pro-life movement that we can't trust these so-called pro-life politicians. Because even the most, you know, the most Republican-y Republicans out there, they tend to be snakes and liars. And they may occasionally do something tangentially pro-life, even, you know, accidentally, just to gin up their base. That may happen occasionally or accidentally. But even the most pro-life president in history, so-called, the most pro-life president in history, Donald Trump, even Donald Trump fully funded Planned Parenthood, which is the country's leading abortion provider. Donald Trump fully funded them at Barack Obama levels. Even Donald Trump and the pro-life community, who loves Trump so much, they love Trump and they try to defend him, and you know, they'll say, "Oh, well, he's done all this pro-life stuff and he overturned Roe with his judges," which, you know, it has an element of truth to it. But even that is overshadowed by the looming words of Trump when he said, yeah, I want to overturn Roe. And he said that in an interview. And then the interviewer asked him, "Well, what about all the women who want to get abortions?" And then Trump, he gave them advice on how to get abortions. You get that? The most pro-life so-called president of all time gave women advice on how to get abortions in a post-Roe America. And Bob Enyart has exposed our pro-life leaders for their wicked pro-choice tendencies, like Donald Trump, who's, you know, the most pro-life president of all time, yet he's teaching women how to get abortions after Roe is overturned, right? Who needs enemies when you have friends like ours? So even the religious leaders of our day, we often, sadly, we see these leaders compromise on God's enduring command, "Thou shalt not murder." Even our religious leaders like James Dobson, and luckily we had Bob to expose them, rightfully so. And that's an interesting point, right? In Jesus' time, he was like that. He spent most of his time criticizing not Rome, not the corrupt Romans, not the, you know, the equivalent of the leftists today, but the religious leaders. And to my knowledge, this is interesting, that Jesus is the only historical religious figure who ever warned the world of his own followers, which is a cool testimony to the wisdom of Christ. All right, number three, the world's largest protest sign. An official Guinness Book of World Records attempt to display the largest ever protest sign succeeded, and there was a 530-foot tall and 660-foot wide message that was shouted from the mountaintops overlooking the Democratic National Convention. When Obama came to town in 2008 for the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, we unraveled the world's largest protest sign on a mountain. On a mountain. That is pretty cool. If you've ever seen the Statue of Liberty, imagine a sign double that height. And if it read DNC for Democratic National Convention, DNC destroys unborn children. Wow. World record earned and deserved. Wow. That is pretty massive. Number four, the burning of the O.J. Simpson memorabilia. BEL bought $16,000 worth of O.J. Simpson memorabilia when it was being auctioned off to make a political statement about what a joke our criminal justice system is, and they burned and destroyed his memorabilia. And let's take a look at Jon Stewart's reporting on this, actually.
Just one day after the OJ auction, Bob Enyart, a Christian talk show host who bought $16,000 worth of the murderer's tchotchkes, burned them in front of a crowd of angry pro-murderers on the steps of the Los Angeles Criminal Court building to protest OJ's acquittal. Take that, bad jersey. There's one piece of athletic apparel that will never again subvert the American criminal justice system. This man claims that destroying this trophy must mean he loves it very much. Enyart's extremely vocal detractors included these two men who showed up to scream out in support of OJ but had to leave early to attend the third annual JonBenet Deserved What She Got rally. According to the Associated Press, OJ said he wondered about the mentality of people burning up $16,000 that could be used for social programs or medical causes, like, say, finding a cure for 80 stab wounds.
Now, that might seem a little harsh. And that's the point. Number five, Real Science Radio's video, Evidence Against the Big Bang. The left, they are excellent at pulling people away from Christianity because what they say is, oh, it's not scientific and it disagrees with the Big Bang, which is, scientifically established. That's the mantra that you hear from evolutionists all the time. Well, Real Science Radio decided to take on the so-called scientists and definitively beat them at their own game. So they want to talk about the Big Bang. Well, we'll talk about the Big Bang and we'll beat you on your own turf. By the way, that video is available on kgov.com/store. Number six, producing American Right to Life's Focus on the Strategy trilogy that lays out the correct strategy for ending abortion. And the strategy is not to trust politicians who occasionally say a pro-life catchphrase. That's not the strategy. If you want to hear the strategy, that's also available at kgov.com/store. Number seven, Bob Enyart Live. And we believe that Bob Enyart Live was the first ever podcast. So that's pretty interesting. That's pretty cool. If you Google the first ever podcast episode, you'll see the earliest result is a podcast called Dead End Days, which that started airing on October 31st, 2003. And so 2003, October, that's pretty early. Here on our website at kgov.com, we have podcast episodes. Just scroll to the bottom and click BEL Archives, and where you can see our podcasts going all the way back to 2003 and they go back to 2003 as well, but starting on January 2nd rather than October 31st. And so to my knowledge, we are currently, you're currently listening to the oldest ever podcast. And well, I suppose I have to be fair. This is not the oldest ever podcast on the Dominic Enyart Show. We are relatively new, but if you listen on Mondays to the broadcast classics, then there you go. That is the oldest podcast. Or if you're listening on KLTT radio locally here in Colorado, then you might not be listening to the oldest, but you certainly are listening to the best radio station. All right, number eight, Real Science Radio, RSR. RSR has the team behind number five's Evidence Against the Big Bang video. And Real Science Radio is a weekly science creation Christian science program that was created to combat NPR's evil, secular, Science Friday show. They call it Science Friday. And NPR's goal is to undermine the gospel. And in doing so, they bit off a little bit more than they can chew. they lit the fires of Real Science Radio, which of course is still going strong today with real science. None of this fake science, you know, oh yeah, our ancestors were monkey nonsense. While they came up with their wild theories about that, Real Science Radio, on the other hand, we are reasonable and we can tell the difference between people and monkeys. We can tell that there is a difference because we're reasonable. Number nine, piggybacking off of the O.J. Simpson burning of the O.J. Simpson gear, we have God's Criminal Justice System seminar that we've given from cities from across the U.S., from Honolulu to Pittsburgh, which teaches how God would have us as, you know, as a, in 2022, how he would have us run a criminal justice system. And that is available at kgov.com/store. Number 10, another seminar, we have our God's Biblical Attributes seminar, which shows that God's biblical attributes, they are not the omnis and the ims that show an unrelational God, but that God is living, personal, relational, good, and loving. And those are qualitative attributes. And if you have seen the seminar, you know that according to the Bible, quality trumps quantity. Number 11, creating opentheism.org, especially the list on there, the list of just over 550 verses that show the freedom of God. And while some claim that God is bound and restricted, we fought hard to show that God himself is living and free. All right, number 12, Bob's Life's Work, The Plot. The Plot is a Bible textbook that has helped thousands understand and enjoy reading the Bible. That's pretty important, right? You want to understand the Bible, but if you can really enjoy something, that can help you further, you know, stick with it. And so The Plot has done that for thousands. And The Plot, it shows the overarching story of the Bible, and understanding the plot of any given story is the key to understanding its details. And that is what The Plot does for the Bible. Number 13, our debates. Simply go to kgov.com/debates. You get some of the best stuff in the world there. Number 14, a verse-by-verse Bible study going through much of the Bible. Hopefully, we'll get through the entire Bible. And this is still in progress, by the way, here at kgov.com. We are producing more and more theology-rich, Bob-approved Bible studies. And so if you sign up for the monthly Bible studies, you can get those, by the way. Number 15, launching American Right to Life, ProLifeProfiles.com and AbortionBreastCancer.com. By the way, American Right to Life, their website is AmericanRTL, which stands for Right to Life, AmericanRTL.org. And the site... I'll be totally honest. The site isn't very pretty just from a presentational view. But if you want to understand the abortion debate fully and become equipped with, you know, knowing how to respond to various arguments, check out that site. It's AmericanRTL.org. And that has been one of my most helpful tools I've found to equip myself with the fight against abortion, especially their talking points page. So AmericanRTL.org/talking-points. And so I recommend checking that out. Number 16, producing the Mount Moriah Evidence for the Resurrection of Jesus Christ video. By the way, a lot of people think that when you are evangelizing to an atheist, that you first have to convince them of the existence of God and then present the gospel after that point. And that's not entirely true. It can definitely be effective to some atheists, but more so than doing that, you can skip that entire conversation and just, you can get straight to the point, showing the evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that's a fun little evangelical shortcut that you can use. And Mount Moriah has some of the most incredible content in there. All right, number 17, warning parents against public schools. It took about 20 years or so for the conservative movement to start catching on a little bit. But our ministry has been warning against the dangers of public school for decades, and we continue to do so. We continue to do that. Get your kids out of public school. That is so important. And so these are 17 of the specific ways that Bob influenced the world, that our ministry here influenced the world. I said earlier that on Sunday, the message was about wielding your influence and asking, how did Bob influence the world? And our pastor, he asked my brother Zachary Enyart to speak about how his father influenced the world. And I'd like to play what he said this past Sunday to wrap up the show. And Zach, he always blows me away with his brilliance. I'll have to have him on the show sometime here soon. But I want to play what Zach said, and he articulated what I could only dream of articulating. He was trying to show the trick which my father and predecessor, Bob Enyart, the trick that Bob used to influence the world. And I think that he is totally correct in emphasizing exhortation as a method which my father used to help influence the world for God, and that this is something that we as Christians, we can start doing right now immediately. So let's go ahead and let's play this from Zachary Enyart.
Brian has asked me to talk about how my dad influenced the world, and so I thought it'd be good to look up the definition of influence. Influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior or beliefs of someone or something. So the question is, how did my dad affect the character development, behavior, and beliefs of others? I'm gonna try to answer that in kind of a roundabout way. I am a huge nerd, so I'm going to make a video game analogy. If you are struggling to complete a challenge in a video game, you might go to the internet for advice. And when you do that, you might find some trick to overcome the challenge you were struggling with, but you also may encounter the internet meme, get good. So what that meme is, if someone tells you to get good, it means that there is no trick to overcoming this specific challenge, and instead you need to gradually improve your competence at the task at hand, until you are sufficiently competent to complete the challenge, complete your objective. So I am pleased to report that we don't have a get good situation this week. And I think my dad had a very specific technique which allowed him to influence the world. And it's a technique that we can start to employ immediately. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What in the world does that mean? It's not really obvious, but I think it's safe to assume that words are pretty important. So let's think about words for a little bit. My dad's favorite ministry was Real Science Radio. And one of the last things he said on there was that it's possible, he speculated, and I think some physicists have speculated this too, that the physical world is actually made out of information, and that subatomic particles are little packets of information. So, do you know what else is a packet of information? Words. Most of you have heard of the doctrine of creation ex nihilo, which is commonly described as the idea that God created the universe out of nothing. But I would like to speculate that a slightly more accurate way of putting it is that God made the universe out of words. Psalm 33:6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." In Genesis 1, when God says, "Let there be light," who is he talking to? I've always thought that this was sort of like a formality, and that he could have created without speaking. Now, though, I speculate that maybe that's not the case. maybe God needed words to create the universe. God could have given the body of Christ anything. He could have given us resources or weapons, or he could have altered our brain chemistry so that we would be neurologically rewarded every time we obeyed him. But instead, he gave us a long series of words that we call the Bible. Anytime in my childhood that I observed my dad working, doing the work of the ministry, he was doing one of two things. He was either typing on the computer or talking on the phone. So what is it that both of these tasks require? Words. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So what's an exhortation? An exhortation is an encouragement to start or to continue righteous behavior. So why does it say exhort daily? Why not weekly or monthly? Think about what we are up against. When a person gets drunk, their brain releases twice as much dopamine as what is normally in their brain. Pornography releases about 2.5 times the amount of dopamine that's normally in your brain. And these are the things that the world has to offer. So how much dopamine is released when a boss tells his employee, "Good job"? Unfortunately, I couldn't find any studies where they found out exactly how much dopamine is released, but they do know that it activates sort of the pleasure center of your brain in a very powerful way when you receive a compliment like that, like your boss telling you that you did a really good job. I would predict that when they get around to figuring out, it's like a dramatically high amount of dopamine. So here's the point. God has given us the neurological tools to compete against sin. All we need to do is watch people very carefully, and when they behave righteously, give them an exhortation. Say, "Good job." So what's the difference between an exhortation and baseless flattery? After all, they both involve using words to modify someone's emotional state. One difference is the intent. Exhorters want to encourage righteous behavior, while flatterers wish to manipulate the target of their flattery. Another difference is truth. Exhorters use the truth to exhort, whereas flattery is often a lie. You can tell that someone is giving baseless flattery if they compliment others to their face, but then insult them behind their back. My dad, on the other hand, was one of the only people I knew that would actually compliment you behind your back. In conclusion, the mechanism by which my dad influenced the world was words, saying words and typing words, or as the King James Version puts it, exhortation. Thank you.
So there you have it, the brilliant and sharp, as always, Zachary Enyart. Hey, we are out of time on today's show. I want to thank you guys for, you know, all the support you give and just for sticking with us this past year. It has been a challenge, but we do pray that we can continue to faithfully serve the Lord, and it is a lot of fun and it is an adventure. Hey, this is Dominic Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.